want to escape the 9-to-5? Or do you want the freedom to work when you want, where you want, and with whom you want? The Art of Passive Income podcast explores opportunities for you to achieve total freedom so you can live life on your own terms. And now, here is your host, Mark Podolsky from The Land Geek.
The most successful land investors don't guess. They follow a system. They don't pick counties at random. They use a proven research process to uncover markets primed for fast sales and massive returns. After helping thousands of students build profitable land businesses, we've refined this strategy into a repeatable process that spots land gold mines hiding in plain sight. In tonight's episode, we'll walk you through the exact approach we use to find counties where land sells fast, often with big, big returns. You'll learn what indicators we check before entering any market, which overlooked signals separate good counties from great ones, why competition isn't the enemy. It's a clue. If you want to find better deals, sell faster, and scale smarter, don't miss this one. Welcome to Nightcap. What's up, fellas? I'm joined tonight by handsome Rob, John Burnett. John, good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, Mark.
The Zen Master. Breathe in the marketing. Breathe out the mailing. Breathe in the mailing. Breathe out the marketing. I forget the M&Ms. Mike Zano. Mike, how are you?
I'm great. Nice to be here. Nice to see you.
Good to see you. And the dude buddy, the Nightcap OG, Scott Bossman. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Mark. Glad to be here.
It's great. Well, I just want to tell you guys that this is a great topic, and it's a fundamental topic. The reason it is that I don't care how great you are at due diligence. I don't care how great you are at marketing. I don't care how great you are at sales. If you get this wrong, everything goes off the rails. Picking the right market, picking the right county is the foundation to this business. And so I'm really excited to go deep into this topic. So with that said, John Burnett, should we just pick on you?
Let's do it.
You're a brand new land investor, as Mike would say.
Nice try.
Good, thank you. Appreciate that. How do you pick a good county? How do you pick a great county? What's the difference?
So, I mean, when I first jumped into this as a brand new investor, one of the things that they said was to go where the other investors are, right? And it's like fishing, right? Like you go to a lake and you want to go where you see the other people fishing, right? You want to go where the fish are, right? And it's the same thing in this business. I still do the bulk of my deals in the first county I ever mailed to. And it's not an unpopular county, right? And so for me, like I ended up picking a county because I wanted to see an area where other investors were and where there was a proven record of success that it worked with the model. And then it just came down to things like my budget, like how much money do I actually want to spend on property. And so we picked an area where we ticked both of those boxes. And, you know, here I am on this podcast 8 years later. So,
okay. So there's a lot to unpack there. And so what's interesting to me is, number one, you're in a county that's not unpopular.
Yeah.
And so how do you fight the fear that, you know, let's say you have a bad week, you don't get a sale, or you send out, you know, 100 offers letters and nobody responds. Like, how do you fight the fear? Like, oh, well, it looks like this county is now saturated. And you go on Facebook or you go on Instagram and people are chiming in. Oh, you know, these guys talk about these big land margins and they're not there anymore. Right. Maybe that was like that in 2018 or. Right. But today the market's changed. Right. How do you fight that fear?
I mean, I think part of it is like just being in the community and seeing other people seeing success. Right. So that is helpful, right? I can see what people are buying for. I can see what they're selling for, right? And so when you see other people seeing success in an area, that's really helpful. I have found there's some seasonality. Sometimes prices go up, and sometimes prices go up on the buy side and it lags a little bit on the sell side, or sometimes, which is the one I like, it goes the other way around. It bumps up on the sell side and then takes a little while to catch up on the buy side. And so I have seen some seasonality and some changes in there. But I think that for me, a lot of it just comes down to, like, I mean, 8 years in, it just kind of, I don't know. I've seen it work pretty consistently, right? And so for me, it's just seeing my own track record in this county and then also seeing other people and seeing what they're able to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike, do you think that people, when they start and they don't have the faith that John has after 8 years of experience, that they're more likely to hold on to an excuse? Okay, the county's saturated now. And I need to either go to a different county, or this business just isn't a good business anymore. Let's go into ATM investing, better margins.
I think that's possible. I think, but personally, Mark, I think of what is most difficult for people in the beginning is most people gravitate to what they know, and many of the areas they know are not going to work for our model. For example, I live in Massachusetts. If I wanted to use Massachusetts as my area for acquiring land, it doesn't fit our model. But that's what I'm familiar with. So naturally, when I talk to people over the years that are getting into this business, that's one of the most difficult things to overcome is, like, well, this is what I know. I want to start where I know. But the reality is you need to get comfortable in areas that you don't know. And that's the real trick, right, is becoming comfortable buying land that you never visit, becoming comfortable going to areas that you have never known. But you go there because you follow, you know, as we were talking, you've already mentioned, we follow established markets, right? So we have to get over our own prejudice at first, like, hey, this is what I know. I'll start here, because that can lead to a real problem, right? Because most likely we're not going to find the deals and we're going to feel like the model isn't working. So I hear what you're saying, Mark, but I feel like that's an important thing I want to make at the very beginning here, is like that many people just gravitate to where they know. But it's like that book, Where the Wild Things Are. Remember that book, Where the Wild Things Are?
You know? Is that Maurice Sendak?
Yeah, yeah. Max, yeah. I think, was the kid in it. Like, you got to go off where the wild, it's like where the investors are, and they're not in your backyard, most likely. Occasionally, some of you out there will live in an area where in your backyard the wild things are, but there's no wild things in my backyard. So I have to go on a little journey and find those places. And that's the difficult thing in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Scott, I'd be curious, what's the difference between a good county and a great county?
A good county and a great county. Well, not many good counties are not great counties. Not many great counties are not good counties, in my opinion. How's that? I got a giggle out of Mark. It'd be a lot easier to answer what makes a bad county and what makes a great county.
Okay. Let me rephrase. What makes a bad county versus a good or great county? Because I think you're right. I think if it's a good county, it could be a great county, right? Like, so, like John Burnett, when he first started, he's like, oh, this is a good county. And then 8 years later, because he knows it so well, now it's a great county.
Yeah. So exactly right. I think a good county all starts with, especially for beginners now, right? It all starts with, where can you find proof in the pudding that land is being bought there and land is being sold there? And there's some data analysis that you can do there. It's also about affordability, right? I would say most people that start this are starting with $5,000 to $10,000 to $20,000. You can start even with less than five. But to find a county where land is affordable, I think is really important when you're first starting out. And to go where other land investors are. If you see Mike Zano in a county, pretty, you know, you could probably venture to guess it's a pretty good county, right?
Yeah.
So I think a good county initially is just counties where you see other people working, like John mentioned, counties that are affordable, where you can buy land for $500, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, which you can really do in a lot of different places in this country, even still today. And be able to turn around and sell those to a really high, really large buyer pool, right? So you want to work in areas where we can buy at a deep discount, but also sell. Now, what makes a great county over time, I think, is you getting to really know that county, right? You build a buyer's list in that county. You get repeat buyers in that county. You get to know the county, even though you've never been there. You know every little nook and cranny of that county. And you know the different types of land, you know the different types of subdivisions, and you know the pricing in that area. And then you pass that knowledge down to your marketing person and your sales assistant and your acquisitions manager. That's when it becomes a really great county for you, because you just get to know it really, really well. And then what makes a bad county? I work in bad counties. I've gone off the beaten path where I'm like, look at all this land. There's a gazillion 1-acre parcels there. It looks like the moon. Nobody's living there. No land investors are there. I'm going to go buy it all, and I'm going to sell it all. We bought a lot of land there, but it took a long time to sell. So yeah. I broke the, you know, I deviated from what we taught there and tried a new area where I couldn't find a lot of data. And it ended up being a mistake, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so funny because I'll be looking at some of our, you know, coaching clients, and they're like, oh, this, I've got all these lots in this area and they're not selling. And I'll look at the area and I know the area. I'm like, oh, you're in a Burger King county. Like, what? I'm right. Like, yeah, you're in a Burger King county. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you want to be in an In-N-Out county. You go to In-N-Out Burger, right? And there's a line, and they're selling these burgers fast, right? People can't get enough In-N-Out Burger. Burger King, there's no line, right? They're everywhere. And it's, though, eventually, yeah, I'll eat Burger King eventually. They'll all sell eventually at the right price, but it won't sell as fast. And so it's frustrating when you first start out. You want to be in an In-N-Out county, but I'm in a Burger King county. What do I do? And the answer, unfortunately, is patience. Mm-hmm. Or you wholesale. Because if you do, yeah, you're either going to wholesale or you're just going to be patient on the retail side. There's no way around it. And I think, Scott, to your point, when you're doing your county research and you see it looks like the moon, and you see there's a bazillion, you know, 1-acre lots there, it's, you're lacking humility by thinking, oh, well, I'm a better marketer than all these other land investors. I'll buy it all and I'll sell it all. Well, no, the market's the market and you can't beat the market. I've tried. I remember, you know, in Treasure Lake, I got enamored with this county. It was beautiful. Pennsylvania, gated community, two beautiful lakes, three PGA rated golf courses, $1 million homes, and 1,000 lots overdeveloped. And there were POA fees and they had high taxes. And yeah, there was a very small buyer pool for that property. And I bought them all, bought 1,000. They didn't sell fast. And I got frustrated because I liked the area. Well, I thought, oh, I'll be able to sell these. When the data said, no, there were not other Mike Zanos buying there or John Burnett's buying there. Why does Mark Podolsky think he knows something they don't, especially someone new in the business? Now, someone like me who's been doing it for 25 years, yeah, absolutely. I can test a county. I know how to do that, and I can sleep well at night knowing that if it sells, it doesn't sell, I've done a test. But when you first start out, that's not what you want to do. You want to definitively know you're in a good market. And so I think it's frustrating. But John, I'd be curious, as a newbie, right? You're looking at this county and you don't like it. It looks like it's a piece of desert in the middle of nowhere. I wouldn't buy it. You wouldn't buy it. Who's buying it? It looks like all the land investors are buying it, but I can't visualize anyone else who would buy it. I don't like it. None of my friends would like it. If I tell my mom I bought a piece of property 3 hours from the nearest city for $500, she's going to be like, you just lost $500. You'll never sell it. Right? How do you answer that?
Yeah, I think it's like, it's an important question to ask, right? So part of county research is like, will people buy this, right? And seeing other land investors is a really good sign that the answer is probably yes, right? And so for me, you know, when I'm looking at an area, there are generally three core criteria that I look for that indicate that I can sell this property. One is access, right? I want there to be access, ideally both legal and physical, right? And then another would be, I want something where there's ideally some recreational potential, right? And then the third thing would be ability to build, right? And off-grid is fine. I love off-grid. And sometimes one of those three things won't necessarily be in place, but the other ones will be very strong and I'll buy anyways. But if I've got those three things in place, generally I can move a property, because for me, my buyers, they're generally looking for, they like the idea of land ownership. Like for a lot of people, this is their first real estate purchase ever. And to do that and to pick up 5 acres or an acre, like it's a big deal. That's like your own football field. And you own an acre. That's like a football field in the middle of an area with a terrain that you like, right? And so my buyers, they like the idea of land ownership and investment, right? And then they like the idea of having a spot that they can recreate and a spot that they can build on someday, right? And so if I can tick those boxes, then I can sell a piece of property. So,
okay. And so there's no psychological barrier for you if John doesn't like that property. Like John wouldn't buy that property.
Right. There is, I mean, I have had like areas sometimes where I just struggle to market it, right? Like there's this one county, man, like I knew investors and they're selling so many of these. And for me, like I just kind of struggled to like market it a little bit more. And so I just sold it to those other investors, you know? And so sometimes you might find a county where you need to be able to catch the magic in the land, and it's always there. The reality is it is there, right? But you need to be able to capture that and to be able to market that property effectively.
Yeah, I love that. Mike, what are your thoughts about that? Especially as a newer land investor, you're looking at these markets and you don't resonate with it.
Yeah. I've talked to people about this, Mark, and I always put the analogy out there. Say you owned a donut shop and you didn't like blueberry donuts. Would you take them off the shelf? You don't like blueberry donuts. But there's a ton of people that love blueberry donuts. You know, there's land. Yeah, you don't like blueberry donuts.
Oh, I love them. I don't like them. I love them. Love them.
But can you imagine somebody, you know, just saying, you know, I don't want to eat this, so I'm not going to sell this. That'd be crazy. I mean, how many sales would they lose? Everybody comes in for a coffee. You mean you don't have blueberry donuts? They may not come back. These people love blueberry donuts. So, you know, we can't let our own personal bias get in the way of, it's like, is there somebody that's interested in this land? And if so, we're going to market to them, that particular avatar. So you got to really let that part go. You know, there's, you know, dozens of properties outside of El Paso, Mark, and, you know, you and I probably wouldn't love it. Low-lying sagebrush, tumbleweeds, mountain views. But the people in El Paso, they can shoot their guns, ride their horses. They can go do whatever they want out there, unrestricted. It's a slice of heaven for them. So if I were to put my personal judgment on it, you know, I would miss a market.
Yeah, I love that. I like to use the analogy about McDonald's in the sense, like, I personally don't eat McDonald's, but a billion people do. Yeah. But I certainly would buy a McDonald's franchise.
Yeah.
And not eat the food.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the blueberry donut analogy is inferior, but very good.
I worked 30 years ago when I got out of college. I went and worked as assistant manager at McDonald's, and I was on this clean diet. And the first thing the manager does, he comes out, sits down, okay, what you need to do is you need to sample the food every day, make sure it's good. And I'm like, so he brings out all these sandwiches. I'm supposed to take a bite of all this food. And there I am, like, very strict diet at the time, you know, and I was like, oh, man, this is not going to work out. It's like, yeah, you're going to know. Yeah. This brings out one of everything. You're going to try it all. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, Scott, you know, let's say I'm a new land investor and I see these lots and they just look like they're in the middle of nowhere. They don't look pretty to me. And yet there's a certain pool for the business part of it, but I don't love the product, right? This product of land, because, you know, number one, I don't like it personally. And then number two, I can't visualize who would buy it. And also I can't wrap my head around the fact like everyone needs a house to live. Nobody needs a piece of land, but then, you know, but intellectually, like 99% of like my life, our lives, right? We don't need this stuff, but we want it. And there's a market for it. How do you, as a new land investor, get over that psychological hurdle?
Yeah, I think it's, to me, there's two hurdles almost. There's a buy hurdle and there's a sell hurdle. So the buying hurdle, I think, is a little bit easier to get over because you can find the data. You can find proof that land deals are being done in this area. You can see that Mike Zano and John Burnett are in this area. You can maybe see what they even bought the land for. You can see what people are listing the land for, what people are selling the land for. And that's a little bit more data driven, in my opinion. So let's buy this asset at 25, 30 cents on the dollar and put that in our portfolio. Now, the next hurdle is selling it. And that's where I see a lot of people get hung up because a lot of people's preferences, I think, inhibit their ability to market effectively. And some people are even afraid to market because they can't get in the mindset of, okay, who am I going to try to sell this to? Who am I going to sell this to? So I think that's an essential part of county research is, okay, can I find the data here? But and I'm finding the data, but also when I flip the coin here and I'm turning around and selling these, who am I going to sell to? And that's exactly what John was talking about. When you're first starting out, I think the more characteristics that land have that make it seem like it's going to be more marketable is probably going to be a better area for you. And then it just comes with experience, right? When you sell your first parcel of land out in the Arizona desert, you're like, oh, somebody does want it. And then that helps you with your marketing because you'll talk to those people and you'd be like, why did you want this? I'll never forget one of the first parcels I sold in Arizona was out in the middle of nowhere and I thought I would never sell it. But I sold it to an astronomer from the University of Arizona who wanted to go somewhere on the weekend where there was no light pollution. And I thought, oh, wow, I never thought of that before, ever. And, but now there's a tick in the column there where, okay, this guy wants it. I didn't necessarily want it, but this guy wants it. And then you run into more and more and more people who want it. So it comes with experience. I think it comes with, you know, use the community. Go to the Facebook group and say, who would buy this land? And a lot of people chime in and tell you. Rely on the community. Rely on the data you're seeing on the buy side. Try to get in the mind of your buyer.
Can also
You can also didn't have chat GPT back in the day.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, these youngins come into this business now are so spoiled. Like LG Pass now has land geek data powered by Zamplo. And you can go in, you can draw polygons, you can skip trace the neighbors, you can get pricing data. It's so unfair. The data is just driven. You click a button, you see all the Zillow listings, you know, what they paid, what they sold it for, but it's data driven. We didn't have it. Of course we had it, but there was a lot of work to do it.
What did you say it was integrated with? It's integrated with did you say LG Pass?
Yeah, today. Yeah, we did a demo. We just started it today.
With Zamplo, Mike.
Yeah, it's power.
I knew that was going on, but I didn't know I guess the scope of it.
It's amazing.
It's a game changer.
It is a game changer. I think we should drink to it. I didn't bring my drink out. Hold on, can I go get my drink? I'll be right back.
Please.
I don't have a real. It's not an alcoholic drink, but I'll be right back. You talk amongst yourselves.
Go ahead, Jess.
Apple cider vinegar,
mocktail,
and lemon juice, and cinnamon water, and blueberries.
That just melts the pounds off, man. That's like it's one of those TikTok drinks you find that just melts the pounds off. Good job.
Yeah, it's good.
Mark, you must have a connection because I've never seen that one for sale for Kavan. What's on the cover of that drinking bottle?
I can't tell you. This is not my bottle.
I can't tell you.
It is inappropriate.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah. But it's a nice bottle. It's a thermal flask.
Ooh.
Yes. It's
I have a Chianti.
Oh, a Chianti.
Chianti.
You have some fava beans?
Some fava. Yeah.
It's such iconic. It's so iconic. Isn't it?
Chianti. He says Chianti. Chianti. Though. Chianti. Yeah. I have. This is actually. This is a prize from Kentucky. Woodford Reserve cask finish Madeira cask from.
Wow.
The outside Portugal. Yeah, very, very yummy.
Wow.
Is that what a Madeira mushroom is, or a Madeira sauce? Is that same?
You know, that's a good question. I bet it is.
If only there was a way to find out.
Right.
I know this isn't about.
I'll go to my encyclopedia with the M and look it up.
I know this call isn't about Zamplo and LG Pass, but just for a 2-second blurb, when is this live?
It's live now. It's ready. Just go to lgpass.com
For those of you on your annual data tree subscription, you might want to wait.
You might want to wait. Yeah. I mean, and you're going to get a 20% discount through LG Pass. Yeah.
Wow. Did you guys ever use those, Lenovo stick computers? And build a scraper. Remember that?
Never built a scraper, but
I did.
Yeah, I built the scraper. I remember going to bed and being very excited about waking up in the morning with Theta. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, it was amazing. But think how long it took. And you couldn't really manipulate the data. You just had data. Now we can manipulate it. I mean, you can see the little dots and you can add and you can draw. And I mean, it's not that we can. We've had these tools for a while now, but to integrate it now with our own tool, where the user doesn't have to sort of bounce back and forth from this tool to that tool to this tool, now take it in and make a CSV file and download the CSV file. Now I got to match APN to APN, name to name, right? Price to price, it's all right there for you as well. It automatically because we've integrated with it. So you just automatically do it, and it just it helps your due diligence reports as well. So, but to Mike's point, I don't want to go off on a tangent on this. I want to really stick to county research and whatever the hell you guys are drinking. It's nightcap.
We missed you last week, though. We had a great interview with Kirk Stewart last week. Mark,
tell me.
He's killing it. He started in November. He's bought 40 properties. He's bought 70 properties. He's sold 40 in 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, I think that. Well, first of all, I think that's great, but he's not typical, right?
No.
I hope it. You know, if you guys watch that podcast, you're like, oh, I want to be Kirk Stewart. You know, I want to be LeBron James. I'm not, right? Yeah. I might be a middling NBA player in this analogy. I'll never be in the NBA. But you know what I'm saying is like I wouldn't say, oh, I'm going to be a Kirk Stewart, right? I would say this is something you can aspire to be. If he can do it, you can do it. But don't think, that's typical, right? It's just not. But that's great for him. But what is more interesting to me is what is he doing that the average land investor is not? Did you guys uncover any of that?
Oh, that's kind of cool. Although it's not typical, the fact that it's possible is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, well, 100%. Yeah. I mean, Try and Quinn are now at $1 million enterprise value business in what, a little less than 2 years. Which, I mean, think about that. That's insane. Again, not typical, but it's possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and we have so many examples of this. You know, people with, you know, crazy cash flow numbers. But again, it's not typical, it's possible. Yeah. And I think that the problem with the typical, you know, coaching model marketing is it's like, hey, give us your money. We're going to teach you how to do this. And you're going to be like a Kirk Stewart, right? And it's not honest, yeah. Right? What's honest is that you're going to get the tools and the skills and the models, and it's possible for you to do this with a combination of persistence and grit and how much capital you have, how much money, I mean, how much time do you have, what skill sets you have coming in, but eventually you'll get there. But like Scott Todd, 17 months and 3 days, quit his Fortune 500, Fortune 50 job. It took me 18 months. But I had an investment banking background. I might have had more capital than the average person. So I feel like there's that part of it where when you come in and it's like, oh, that's why I want to do it. But no, you've got to do what's best for you, your budget, your time, and then just be patient, because it's like planting a tree. And either way, the tree is going to grow if you keep watering it. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger every single year. But if you're upset because in 6 months you didn't grow into an oak and this guy did, it's not, you're just setting yourself for disappointment.
Mark, you're exactly right. And I think of all of the people who maybe they didn't have all the time and they didn't have all the capital, but they had the drive and they still made it work. And I'm thinking of like some of our younger investors who have started in college even, right?
Yeah. How about your cousin, Cole?
Cole, like my nephew. He's my nephew.
Your nephew. Yeah. How old is he?
He just got married a couple weekends ago. He's got to be like 26, 27 now. But when he started, he was 23.
23, yeah. Ankle, 23-year-old little ankle biter in the land business, trying to make it work with no money, no time.
Yep.
What's he at
and
now?
And with consistency, he did it.
Yeah.
And he's so grateful. He's like, I don't ever have to do anything else. I'm going to be a land investor. He's in his 20s. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's good stuff.
Well, okay, let's get back to county research. I'm sorry.
We digress.
That digression. Eliza Kaplan's like, can you please answer my question? Can Mark not come on next week? I like it when he's not there.
Yes.
So, Eliza, would you start in your own state? And Mike, I'm going to let you answer that because you did touch on it earlier.
It just depends where you live, Mark. You know, some people live in areas where this model works. I mean, I think if you look at the basic idea behind our model, you know, you want to be 3 to 4 hours out of a major city. You want to have an abundance of
opportunities. No, not 3 to 4 hours. I think you're an hour to 3 hours.
Well, okay.
Maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Well, I guess, okay. You want to be in a distance where people would leave and go and get away from it all. And that could be right. Because like I said earlier, you're 100% correct. El Paso, these properties I have are like an hour and a half away. Yeah. So you want to be a few hours or just enough distance where people can get away from it all. But also you want to have an abundance of opportunity. So I have, you know, people in my area will go to Maine to get away, but it meets the first criteria, but not the second one. There's no subdivisions that have thousands of properties, similar size and shape. So you can't price them quickly and efficiently. You can do that. You want to have low annual taxes, right? You want to have use. There's all these things that need to come together. So you could live in a state, Eliza, I don't know where you live, where that does fit. It just doesn't fit for me. And I think a lot of people, it doesn't, but some people it does.
Right. Right. Am I the only one looking at Eliza's last name and be like, I think that should be a K. Did she spell her name wrong?
I was
on Facebook. Did she spell it wrong on Facebook? Yeah, she might have.
She might have. You know,
does that help, Eliza?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
No, I was just going to touch on what Mike said there. So use and affordability are huge in this business when you're first starting out. And the truth of the matter is, like, there are other land investors out there who do bigger deals. Those deals are riskier. They're harder to find. Your returns are not as good. They're harder to, like, it's harder to price when you're in some large county out just outside of a metropolitan area. And there's all these little acre tracts and these big acre tracts. And like, how am I going to price this area? Who am I going to mail? How am I going to acquire this land when it costs $50,000 or $100,000? We love working in land where the market is just massive in these areas. I mean, there are counties where there are 50,000 plus vacant land parcels in all these little platted out subdivisions, right? There are subdivisions that have 20, 30,000 vacant land parcels or more. And like Mike said, those areas are easier to work with when you're first starting. If you've got a low budget and you want more efficient use of your time and you want better data-driven county research to be able to start working in an area.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Cheers to that answer.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Mike did. Well, Mike wasn't going to drink, though. He didn't like that. He didn't like that response.
Mike, what did you say?
I thought it was phenomenal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty passive aggressive,
Mike. Say to that.
Pretty. Yeah. Really was.
Yeah. John. What? Oh, Eliza, thank you. In Arizona.
Arizona.
My neighbor. What part? Fantastic, Eliza.
Who would start in Arizona? Yeah.
By the way,
who would start in Colorado?
This reminds me of a Kirby Enthusiasm episode. I was drinking next to Laura last night at some friend's house, and guess what she did? She plopped, and my wine went all over the place.
She plopped?
She plopped onto the couch. She's next to me, and the wine went everywhere.
Wow. Said,
Mary David would be out of his mind.
Out of his mind.
Plopped.
We have a couple coffee tables, and somehow like Target started selling coffee tables with three legs, which basically makes it a catapult in any given direction. Where, because my kids will walk by and they'll just like start sitting down, and then whatever is sitting on it just immediately flies through the air. And so we've had a lot of spilled drinks and food on the carpet. It's very exciting.
Can you imagine going to the Burnett house, 22 kids? Can you imagine baby proofing that thing?
Yeah, it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Don't buy
a Cheetos dust table. Everywhere.
Yeah, just Cheetos dust. Yeah. All over
everywhere.
Yeah. Val is not going to do it. She's like, look, these kids eat organic, beautiful, healthy food.
It's organic.
Stop, Bossman. It's organic.
Cheese. It's fine.
Yeah. For sure.
Sure. I think Scott touched on something important though. Like a big part of this is like, so like the strength of this model is it's a repeatable process, right? And it's a repeatable product, right? And you need a repeatable product. You need something that scales. Cause like when I market to an area that I know well, right? When you've got consistent variables, you market to that area. And I already know what my margins are. I know what I can buy this property for, right? And if I've got a wide enough area, I can just continue to churn through that list over and over and over again. You know, you pick an area with you know, you pick a subdivision with 20, 30, 40 properties, you know, like you might get one every few years, right? Maybe, right? And as you churn through that over and over again. So you need to have that level of repeatability. And if you move away from that, everything gets way, way more complex, right? And you can't really systematize.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point, John, is that this is a business. And so many people think, oh, I'm just going to make some quick cash. And you know, I don't know. I shouldn't say that, right? But I get the sense, I don't really know what people think, but I get the sense that the marketing is, hey, I bought this for this and I sold it for this. And no part of the other story is discussed at all. Like, it's just, I made a lot of money. And that's the end of the story. It's like, oh, but that's not the real story is you want a repeatable business that's high margin and has good cash flow. That's a good business. Mm-hmm. And then to scale it, you have to have three levers: other people's time, software and automation, and other people's money. And then you combine that with a fundamental asset that can't be destroyed, nothing to maintain, nothing to protect, boring, it's not sexy, right? You're not going to be the life of the party telling people that you buy property, you buy dirt, and you sell it on terms and make it cash flow.
For less than $5,000.
For less than $5,000, like no one's impressed, right? You go and say, hey, I bought this building for $1 million and I have all these tenants and I have all this debt and I have you know, this property management, and I hope that no one calls at 2 a.m, but I've got all these doors. Oh, I want to talk to that person, right? You're the lonely land guy at the party. Everyone else wants to talk about the house flipping and the landlords and the multifamily people or the person who developed a software company or whatever it is. Like, everything else in the world sucks here, but we have the best passive income model and the best business in the sense that there's low competition, it's a massive market, high margin, great cash flow, and it scales. And you can do it from anywhere in the world. All that is to say that it doesn't matter if you can't pick the right market, and if you can't pick the right county, and you think county research is boring or unimportant, it is, I would argue, the most important thing in this business.
Mm-hmm. Mark, are you saying trade doors for dirt?
Yeah, I'm saying trade doors for dirt. I actually just bought that domain.
Doors to dirt.
Trade doors for dirt.com. We're gonna go after the miserable landlords in the country.
Well, am I the only one that thinks Mark's at the animal kingdom?
There's a lot of chirping going on.
I'm at a beautiful resort. I needed a vacation for my vacation. Is that so weird?
Definitely an animal kingdom.
Oh no, Jared Bell. Cheers, guys. Mark.
right on point, Jared. Perfect. Thank
you. Right on point, Jared.
Timing was until
that. Mark just found the brightest place he possibly could.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's funny. Yeah, Scott's like, You're not allowed to go into your office anymore. You go to the jungle. That's right. That's where you belong. You filthy animal. Man.
Filthy animal. Oh. What? Let's see what else.
Where do you go from here, Scott?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there's one. Oh, a game? You want to play a game?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love games.
Okay. Let's play a game.
Let's play a game.
What do you got in mind?
Well, you're like, I love your
you said it like you had an idea, Scott.
No.
I thought you were prepared for this podcast.
No,
I thought that was a layup because you had an idea.
I was gonna echo one last thing about trading doors for
dirt.
Yeah,
In that with dirt, there literally is just an ocean of opportunity with dirt. Like, it's just crazy.
Wet dirt.
What's that?
Ocean and dirt, mud, wet dirt.
I mean, anyway. Whatever, Zeno.
Mike is on fire tonight.
There's not an ocean of opportunity with multifamily right now. No. Single family, flipping. There's just not. And so it's a great time, I think, to get in the
land. You have a great analogy, Scott. Talk about the realtors and houses and how's that go? You have a great way that you phrase that.
Well, I don't. It's not really an analogy. It's just there's millions of realtors, land flippers, single multifamily home investors fighting for a few hundred thousand homes on the market. But there's a few thousand land investors fighting for millions of vacant land parcels under $5,000.
Yeah, like the odds are in our favor.
And the other thing about county research is once you find the right county and you just remain consistent, you really never not have land to buy.
Yeah.
I think
we
could all say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is legendary land investor Scott Todd talks about this at boot camp. He calls it the beachhead strategy. And so when you first start out, you stay in that one county, that one market, and you master it. And you don't go into a different county until you've mastered that beachhead. And when you look at the analysis of the way other businesses start, they start with a beachhead strategy. They start in one market. Do you know that Uber started on one street in San Francisco? Mm-hmm. One street, and they started on that beachhead. Mm-hmm. And then they expanded into a little other part of San Francisco, and they just kept expanding the beachhead. And now, you know, we all take Ubers for the most part, mm-hmm. right? If you're in Arizona, you can take a Waymo, which is, again, a beachhead strategy. They started just in the Phoenix market. It's owned by Google. And it's self-driving vehicles. It's fantastic because if you're like me and you don't want to talk to somebody and you don't want to tip somebody, you take a Waymo. It's great. You got to trust software a little bit, though. It's kind of scary.
That's a mic drop. I think that was a mic drop. Nobody knows what to say.
Beachhead strategy. But I do think that it's important to bring up because I think if you're a new land investor and you've got 3,007 U.S. counties, you're doing your county research, you might be tempted to start in two counties or three counties. But I would John Burnett it.
Yeah.
John started one county and still 8 years later in that one county.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's, my kids have this book, it's Sam and Someone Dig a Hole. I can't remember the name of the book, but anyways, it's these two boys. They go to dig a hole and they're digging for treasure and they dig down and you can see like there's a little cutout and you can see they're like this far away from a diamond. Right. And then they're like, let's change direction. So they go over to the side. So they go over to the side and they're digging sideways. And then they're like this far away from an even bigger diamond. And they're like, let's go down again. And so they go down. And so it repeats and repeats and repeats. And then they end up with a bone and they're like, we found treasure. But I feel like sometimes we can do that when we are sending mail. And I, like Scott mentioned, like those two, the two hurdles, there's the buy hurdle and the sell hurdle. And if you're not careful, you can come to that hurdle. And before you actually figure it out and overcome it, and that, you know, that moment happens where it clicks and takes off, instead you pivot to a new county and you start all over again. And so I think that, you know, and I have, like, I pivoted to new counties occasionally, right? I mean, outside of, like, I've had my core county and then jumped around in other counties a little bit. But I think it's really important to do the work and try to understand how to make that work. Because when it does, you know, that's when things can really take off for you.
I love that. I actually think the intermediate land investor makes a fatal mistake, in the sense that they get bored making money in their county. Hmm. I can't tell you how many times I see it happen. It's like, oh, I'm bored. Well, you're bored of making money in this county, but they do, they get bored. They want to change up their marketing. They want to change up their pricing. They want, we're mimetic, in the sense that, like, if we see someone else doing something, we want to copy what they're doing. Hmm. And so even though I'm successful in this county, and I've been successful in this county for a year or two, I see Mike's in this county. Oh, maybe that's better. No, you're great at that. Stay with it. And, like, you know, Mike, Winnie the Pooh, eat the honey. Keep eating the honey until the honey's gone. Get super fat on the county honey.
I do like honey. You know, it reminds me of something my dad told me when I was in just getting into high school. Some girl broke my heart, and it's like, you know, at your age, kids are fickle. You know, they don't stay with one thing, they move to another. And so we don't want to be a fickle land investor, right? There's a word, Scott, a Scrabble word for you, fickle.
Fickle.
You want points there. Yeah. You want depth, not width. You want to go deep into one area, and you don't want to keep, you know, you don't want to be fickle. Don't be the fickle land investor. In fact, I'm going to write a book, The Fickle Land Investor. I'm writing it.
I mean, I was just talking today.
Great doors for dirt. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, I was just talking today about land investor. Yeah. How like people start in something, it gets hard, and they jump to something else.
Yeah.
And then they go to that something else. Like, then they just realize, oh my God, that's hard too.
Yeah,
and they jump to something else. Like, there's just like this, like there's like this idea that something's going to be easy.
So it's a life lesson.
Nothing is.
It's just like, I mean, it's the, I'm sure the heartbreaker did the same thing. You know, thought it'd be easy to somebody else, went to somebody else. It just started with saying it was all. Sorry, Mike.
Yeah. No, it was a heartbreak. You're right. And thanks for bringing it up. It was very painful. Laura always tells me I shouldn't dwell on the past, and I always tell these stories, but it was difficult.
And now we're telling them in front of millions. I'm sure Laura will be happy about that.
Mike, I appreciate the vulnerability.
Right. Yeah.
Because let's be honest. Everyone's had a heartbreak.
Yes.
Right. And if you haven't had a heartbreak, then you're not fully living. Right. And that's something else to look at, right? For sure. So thank you for sharing.
Look how sad he is now, though. He's like, eyes are drooping.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike.
I've had counties break my heart.
Yeah.
Right?
And it feels like a real loss when I was buying for $2,500 for years, and I was making so much money in that county, and then all of a sudden I couldn't get those deals anymore at that price, and then I had to go to $3,000 and then $3,500. It was heartbreaking, but you get over it. You can't
The margins stay the same,
but that initial change is heartbreaking. Because you know that county so well. Like, the markets are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, let's end with a little advice for Ricky. How's that sound? And then because we're coming up on an hour here. So let's pick on Mike. So Mike, Ricky. I'm gonna pick on you.
I'm gonna recover from the last topic. You know, Pat Benatar wrote a song about this. Do you know the song? You're a heartbreaker, dream maker, love taker. Yeah. Don't you mess around with me.
Yeah, I remember that song.
I'm really in a moment right now. You got me in a funk, but I'll answer the question. Go ahead.
Okay, so Ricky might be in a little funk with his with his area. So he spent a few hundred on VAs scrubbing a list, felt like he's not getting clear results, thinks he made a mistake going east instead of west, maybe?
Two things to unpack here, Scott. First of all,
right.
Ricky, I don't know how long you've been doing it, so this is just general advice. Sometimes we outsource things too quickly. So, you know, we want to just move right to the VAs, and the VAs are incredible. You know, they really take the heavy lifting off of us, the repeatable, redundant process we go through. But if you haven't successfully scrubbed a list yourself first and then handing it off to a VA, I feel like that could be – I'm not saying that's what you did, Ricky. I'm just saying that this is a good lesson to bring up based on this topic. You know, we want to do something first. And we had this word a few weeks ago, and I still can't say it, Mark. What is it, the
Abdicate.
Abdicate. We don't want to
abdicate versus delegate.
Yeah, right. So delegate means that you've understood it, you've done it. I'm guessing, right, Mark? And then you
100%.
You know what has to be done. But abdicate is like, oh, just go do this for me because I really don't know how to do it. You can do it better than me. Please do it.
Can I just talk, because we were talking about McDonald's earlier?
Yes.
If I want to buy a McDonald's franchise, I actually have to work McDonald's for a year for free to buy that franchise, because McDonald's wants to know that you know intimately every single job that your employees are going to do because you've done it yourself. So you're truly delegating and you're truly managing somebody because you've done it yourself. You don't have to be an expert at the fries, but you've done it. You know the basics of it. And that's the same thing in the land business. You better do all of the jobs that your VAs are going to do.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, you're abdicating. Now it's the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Even if even if they're like, oh, well, they're pre-trained. You know, they're not pre-trained for the way that you want to do things.
Right. Such a good point. And, you know, West is best, but there are some places in the East that do work. So, Ricky, I can't just say because – I don't know how far east you went. I mean, but so I think at first, you know, I would look at, did you ever scrub a list? Maybe you did, but sounds to me what I'm reading here, I'm getting a vibe that this is your first time because it sounds like this is kind of a new thing to you. So I would say, okay, put the VAs on the back burner and try to do a little bit yourself, like, and just see where you get with it.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, listen to this podcast again and go back and maybe do your county research over, right? Just maybe wipe the slate clean. A lot of us have made mistakes with mailers. A lot of us have mailed areas we shouldn't have. We've wasted hundreds of dollars. We've maybe hired VAs for the wrong processes or that type of thing. So, you know, maybe wipe the slate clean, go back to the beginning. Go to some of the land selling websites and see where other land investors are working. Hang out in the Facebook group and the Mighty Networks group and see where other land investors are working. And start there and then try to do a little data collection after that. And then take action again.
Yeah, I love it. And Ricky, when we're coaching our clients, we ask them to show us their logic. Why? That mm-hmm. county. Show me the data that you collected and convince me, the 25-year land investor, that's a good market for you, your budget, and your time. Yeah. Show me the data.
It's one of the things I really appreciate.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the things I really appreciate that we do, right? Like, is that first coaching call is always county validation. Right. It's like, because that's the most important thing. Right. Otherwise, you're just going to be wasting a bunch of money on mailers and a bunch of time. Right. And so, like, that's where you got to be week one. We got to make sure that, like, that you're in a good spot.
Yeah, 100%. And people often want to check off the box. I picked a county. I got a list and I mailed the list. But they didn't go that deeper piece of why that county. What did the data show you? That is a good county for you. And just taking that extra 30 minutes or hour could be the difference between a good and great county, as Scott would say, there's no difference, and a Burger King bad county.
What is it about Burger King you don't like, Mark?
I don't. It's not that I dislike Burger King. Burger King's fine. It's just that there's no line. In and Out Burger,
there's never a line there.
You go right. There's never a line. Crown? Not give you the
crown.
I don't
know how they're still open.
You know, crown? Did you go one time and you didn't get the crown? I mean, I feel like there's something.
There's no look. There's no trauma. There's no trauma. There's no. I have no Burger King trauma. I like Burger King, but there's no line. I love In and Out Burger. I will wait an hour for In and Out Burger. And be satisfied with that wait versus driving right up, getting the croissant sandwich from Burger King.
But they have good onion rings. Burger King has good onion rings.
No, it's good. It's good. It's just right. There's no wait. No one's dying to get onion rings. They got great onion rings.
I'm going to go get some right forever. Now. As soon as this call's over, I'm going to get onion rings. This is it. You did it. Laura, get the car ready if you want.
Get the car.
Yeah. We're getting a stent tonight.
Laura, get the car. We got to go talk about my hot breaker.
Over some onion rings.
Yeah.
But I thought this Sorry, was a Mike. Great episode. How do you guys feel too. About it?
Yeah. It's very nice to have you back, Mark. We missed you.
I missed you guys.
We missed you. Of course we did.
I think I hope you guys felt the love. I sent you guys a lot of love in the dark. I did.
I sent you love in the dark.
Did you?
Is that a song?
Thank you.
I don't know what John. I love you too, John. Like I don't know what to say. I feel like they just had a moment. Like we had a moment.
My joke last week was, "Hey guys, Mark sent me a selfie."
I like it. That's a good one.
Well done. Well done.
Well played, right there.
Well played.
Oh man, oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's have fun mocking Mark's spiritual growth.
That's something to giggle about, right there.
It is something to giggle about. It's a great joke. I can't wait to tell Lainey.
Man. All right. Well, I don't know what we're talking about next week. I mean, what would come after county research? Maybe we should just talk, due diligence?
Ooh.
I know, that's a good one.
I feel like that's boring.
We can
make it exciting.
That's what I love about this business. It's endless.
It's kind of boring, but we could make it exciting.
Well, that's the good and bad news of the business, isn't it? I always tell people, here it is. You want it? The good news and the bad news? It's boring. But it can be systematized. It can be put into a process. The returns are exciting, but it's just the simple thing we do over and over again.
The lifestyle is exciting. Having time and money and energy and freedom to do what you want, when you want, where you want, with whom you want. Like, we get to do this together. That's the best part of it. Like, I honestly get no joy from my own deals anymore. Right. But when you guys close a deal, and I say you, I'm talking about, you know, not just these three guys, because I'm bored if there's deals too, but like our clients' deals, our community's deals, it's amazing. It's amazing. I just put in Slack like a screenshot from somebody, like I think their third week in flight school, they just closed four deals. Like that is just the best. And it's so rewarding when the ankle biters are seeing success. Because if they can do it once, they can do it a million times and they can scale it and it's repeatable, like John said. And it's life-changing. It's transformative. How many things in life can we really dedicate our lives to that really can improve our lives the rest of our lives and have generational wealth?
True. And, you know, Mark, I think we missed one important thing we should bring up here. If I dare say. No, it's not a joke, Scott. It's true.
Okay. I'm just waiting.
Because I think one of the most nerve-wracking things in the beginning is when someone's getting ready to mail. Do I have a good area? Is my pricing right? Think of all that. What do we do in flight school right around week two? What do they get to do? They jump on a call with who?
Tate
Litchfield.
They're on a Zoom call with Tate.
The goat.
All the anxiety is removed. All the fear is removed. It's like they leave knowing a good area, good pricing, extra 250 leads. So if you really want to skip all this anxiety, join Flight School, and in week two, you'll be on a Zoom call with Tate talking about your area in your list, and you'll have no worries.
Cheers to that.
Just thought that was it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
And yeah. Another exciting topic. We had like 20 viewers tonight.
Wow.
That's exciting. Wow.
That's pretty good.
We live in the rerun. Good.
We're in the rerun. What? Yeah. We're going to look back a few years from now and be like, remember when we only had 20 viewers and now Joe Rogan wants to get on our podcast?
Right. Joe
Rogan. And we're turning him down.
Right.
Yeah.
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 You know, there's a billion people watching at the same time. Could happen.
Oh. Could. You never know.
You never know. You don't, you
By
know.
The way, Mike, that's a nice tracksuit.
Well, it is a tracksuit business, but I guess that's a topic for another time.
It is a tracksuit business. Yeah.
Tracksuit business.
All right, everybody. We will see you in a week. Happy county research.
Happy
Let county. Freedom ring.
Let freedom it. Ring.
I love Night, you everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Passive Income podcast. Are you ready to learn how you can start building a passive income without renters, rehabs, renovations, or rodents? Schedule a free consultation at thelandgeek.com/training. Let freedom ring.